We are having what we call a Sunday night fellowship after church. But is that really a fellowship? Is that what fellowship's all about? Is that biblical fellowship? What does the Bible say about fellowship? Galatians 2 and verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Sometimes people, years ago at least, I don't know if they still do it or not, but they would join the church and they would give them the right hand of fellowship. It's kind of a neat thing, good thing to do. And it signifies something. I'm not sure everybody always understands what it signifies, but it does signify something and does mean something. Churches for years have had fellowship dinners. They have fellowships hall. Sometimes we call the auditorium, the school, a fellowship hall. Sometimes they call it a cafeteria. It's where the church used to meet. It was the church auditorium at one point. We have fellowship retreats. There are all these different things we call fellowships. They're, you know, organizations of churches even. We call them a fellowship of churches. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's in the biblical use of the word fellowship. It's more than having a meal or a supper together or Christian people getting together and just having a good time or talking about things. It's not just hobbies and interests that you and I may have. There's actually a spiritual principle or a virtue, if you want to call it that, that is only responsible or possible because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, of being saved. There is something that we have that is unique, that is different than people getting together and having a social event that might be out here in the world. But for a Christian people to come together is only possible to have fellowship through means of the Holy Spirit who has brought us together. So it is through the work of the Holy Spirit. It involves believers actually worshiping and serving the Lord together. That's what fellowship's all about. Now the word, in fact, we have Greek class. You always go by the Koine Greek, which means the common Greek. It was the common language of the people. And that word, koinonia, is a word which means common. We have something in common. And the idea of fellowship is that we have this association in common. So it is a communion, it is a sharing, but it includes our relationship to Christ and to the Word of God, and it is dependent on more than one person, a number of people who gather together. So it is an interdependent relationship that believers have, and it is based on the Holy Spirit. So you go to a mission field, you may not even know the language, yet you can have fellowship with someone because you have something in common, and you may be handing out tracts. You can't speak the language, but you hand out tracts. You're trying to get people to come to service. We have a fellowship in common, a communion. There's an association that brings us together. Now, just using words and trying to describe things is not necessarily fellowship. Just talking about the latest football or baseball scores or going fishing or shopping or some sale that's coming up, that's not necessarily fellowship. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with that, but that's not necessarily fellowship. And just the fact that you're discussing something doesn't make it fellowship. In fact, you could be discussing something and someone and take something you said entirely wrong, which you didn't mean. Someone stated in this way, I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. So that's not always fellowship. Sometimes people have problems communicating. But even if you have problems communicating, we can have fellowship that brings us together because of our salvation, because of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And we have the same cause of serving Christ, seeing people saved. The church is an association of people that have that same common bond that brings us together. Christians cannot have true fellowship with unbelievers. It is actually an impossibility. Now, you could be backslidden and you could go out and have a great time and do things that would be contrary to the Bible. That's not fellowship. You could go with somebody and actually do nothing wrong and be kind to them, but that's not fellowship. It involves two believers or more that come together with a common cause. That's what it means. The very word states that there is something in common. Scripture warns us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So we use that verse to say, wait a minute, young person, don't marry someone who's not saved, because it'd be an unequal yoke. And that certainly is true. Or we might say, you know, we can't fellowship with that church because they don't believe all the important cardinal doctrines of the church. And so we can't fellowship with them. They don't really say the things that are necessary for someone to be saved. They deny the virgin birth or the blood of Christ. We can't have fellowship with them. It's an impossibility for someone to have fellowship with someone who's not really saved, because it involves two saved people, two or more saved people. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now look, don't try and kid somebody. If you want to be with somebody that's living contrary to the Word of God, don't say you're having fellowship with them. Don't say that, you know, you've got a good relationship. Don't say that. I mean, just admit you've been rebellious and you're going that way because you don't love the Lord. The only way you can work with somebody that's unsaved is try and reach them with the gospel. That's the only thing you can do. But the only way to have fellowship, you have to have something in common, and that's Christ. The early church enjoyed fellowship. Go with me back to Acts chapter 2. It says specifically about their fellowship. Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 42. So they've had 3,000 people saved. There were all these people saved. They were baptized and added to the church. In verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So what does that mean, that they continued in fellowship? They had something in common. It was the gospel. It was the message of salvation and the presenting of the gospel and reaching people. They were going in the same direction. When Central Baptist Church was first started, people within the church and outside the church would say, oh, that's over there at Pastor Townsley's church. Brother Brown, you probably experienced the same thing. This is Pastor Brown's church. And one of the things you have to overcome is to help people realize it's not any one person's church, it's our church. You know, we're a fellowship, we come together. And, you know, our church did eventually achieve that, where people feel like, this is my church. Pastor Townsley's here or not, it's our church. So there's something about this thing where you come together in the church, there's a fellowship. And they had that same common cause. They were trying to get out the gospel, and that was the beginning of the new church, the church at Jerusalem. So they continued in the fellowship. Ephesians 3:8. Unto me who am less than all, the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So there is the fellowship of this mystery, which means it is really the fellowship of the gospel that is found through Jesus Christ. So we have this fellowship, this thing in common. We all believe that we're saved, and we're trying to get other people saved, and we come together to be edified, to draw closer to Christ. That's a common fellowship. So the early church spoke of this and enjoyed it, and it continues to this day, or it should in every church. But real fellowship is only possible through Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 states this: God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. So it is only possible through Christ. So the fellowship that we have, we can get together and we talk about things, and that's fine. You talk about your car, you talk about your children, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, and I think it's good to have people that will listen to you, but the truth is the real heart of the church is the fellowship we have because of Christ. That desire and love for the Lord, that desire to honor Christ and live for him. Just the fact that you come to church, you know, sometimes you come to church, there's just everybody's just, you know, talking. There's a joy in being in church. There's something about it that's different. It's unique. Now look, how many have ever gone to a church that was no doubt in your mind it was dead? How many have ever been to church like that? All right, several of you. You just felt like there's nothing I have in common with what's going on here. There may be cobwebs in the chandeliers. It may be dark and dreary. No one greets you. Don't look around. There might be a cobweb here or there. We'll have to get to that. But you just feel like I have nothing in common with what's going on here. The real fellowship is found because of the great work Christ has done in our hearts and lives. And there could be somebody just newly saved. They become part of the fellowship immediately. They feel like, you know, this is great to be here. I'm glad I'm at church. We're part of a fellowship. So it is because of Christ. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And there's several verses in 1 John. I'll come back to 1 John later. But 1 John chapter 1. John is putting forth this argument about the assurance of our fellowship with the Lord. In 1 John 1, 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he establishes the fact that our fellowship is through God, through Christ. The only way you have real fellowship is not to have pasta and pierogies and, salad and bread. We have fellowship is through our relationship in Christ. Because we're saved, we have that in common. So there is that commonality because of Christ and what he's doing in us. Keep your place in 1 John. But Philippians 2:1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. He's saying that there is fellowship through the Spirit. Now, I know 100% of our time is not spent just talking about the Bible and Christ and all that. But the real desire of a person's heart, if we have fellowship, it's because we're going the same direction. We have a common bond that we love the Lord. We have a common desire to see people saved. And to see people grow in the Lord, to minister to people. And it's because of Christ. It's not because we have this plan that we're going to have a certain amount of growth in the church. And, you know, I went to the seminar and I brought back this packet and we're going to designate people to be greeters. And it's because that we actually have this in common with Christ. And we share that with others. Christ does make the difference. Fellowship actually involves more than just talking and conversation. It involves ministry. 2 Corinthians 8:4, praying us that with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Did you get that? The fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, I think this is a thing that sometimes new Christians don't quite understand, is that the greatest fellowship you'll have is serving the Lord together in some ministry. As an example, use an example beyond our church. There's people in the ministry that are friends of ours, and they have big vacation Bible school, and they just worked really, really hard in vacation Bible school. They said, you know, we just exhaust ourselves. We have all of our energy just trying to get kids to come and get people saved. And they said, it's just wonderful. We're just worn out at the end of the week. But they had a commonality of fellowship because of their ministry. They enjoyed serving together. And you know, when you miss that, you miss the fellowship in a church. When you get involved, that's where you really find the greatest amount of fellowship. Youth Fest, it's a great opportunity to have fellowship. That you just, everybody worked together so well. There's so many things that they did. Now I realize everybody can't get off work. Somebody's got to support the rest of us. So I'm glad you have a job and that you're working. But for everybody who was here, it was just great fellowship because it was an opportunity to do something for God, to serve the Lord. I remember when I first became a Christian, that preacher, they had an old church building and they had a coal bin, but they had to get rid of the coal. So the project was you had to go down to the coal bin and put in buckets, hand it up, carry it out. And I'll tell you, it really looked like a coal miner when it was done. It was scary, you know, all black. But that was my first real experience of doing something at the church. And I wasn't, at that point, I wasn't even saved, but it was new to me. And I saw something that here people are doing things for the Lord. It was different. I'd always done things for me. And I saw something in that. I said, that's a great thing. You know, that I enjoyed that, doing something together. And so when we serve the Lord together, in the bus ministry, we work together. My wife and I became acquainted really through the bus ministry. She was working on the bus, and I was working on the bus. And that was one of the things that brought us together. Her desire to serve the Lord, my desire to serve the Lord. There's fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And the people that say, you know, I'd like to get to know people in the church, get involved in an activity. Find a way to serve. And when you get involved and you start serving, it's amazing. You say, this is great. I enjoy it. It's part of the fellowship. That's what fellowship is, serving the Lord together. I wish I didn't have to give this next point, but the Bible also talks about the fellowship of suffering. And there is such a thing. There really is. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So the idea is that if we suffer for the cause of Christ, or even if we just go through a trial, that he is working in us through that, there is something we gain. There's a commonality we gain through suffering that identifies with Christ, and we're reminded, he suffered for me. He suffered more than any human being could ever suffer. I guess I can handle this. So there's a commonality through suffering. When you go through it, it seems like you're alone. No one knows. No one's been through it, but Christ has been through it. And to know that he cares, that he understands our need, our problems, and our struggles, there's a commonality and there's a peace through suffering. Obadiah Holmes was arrested and beaten in Boston Common and beaten seriously to the point his back was ripped apart with a whip. And he made the statement, though most grievous, it was as though I was smitten with roses. And a famous statement that was made. What he was saying was not that he enjoyed that, but it was that Christ was with him and he suffered for the cause of Christ and the preaching of the gospel, for nothing else. And he sensed that closeness and fellowship with God because he suffered for the cause of Christ. There is such a thing as fellowship of suffering. And then finally, that fellowship is only possible with other people if we're in fellowship with God. Now, you should still be in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship with the next three words, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now look, if you can't get along with somebody and they're a believer and you're a believer, here's what the scripture says about that. The problem is not that other person. The problem is you are not in fellowship with God. That's the problem. If we are in fellowship with God, we'll be in fellowship with all the believers around us. And so it should be an indication to us, if I'm having a problem getting along with everybody else, maybe my real problem is I'm not getting along with God. It should bring us back to our knees to say, I'm missing that fellowship. I mean, think about it for a second. What would Jesus do if he were in your shoes and those people said the same things, you had the same argument, oh, look at how they treated Christ. How would he respond? Well, we know what he did on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He looked upon them with compassion. The truth is, sometimes we take personally certain things because we're in the flesh, not in the spirit. And if we are in the spirit, we are in fellowship with him. Even when others do not do the right thing, we can be in fellowship with them because of Christ. And if our fellowship is broken with someone, it's our responsibility to make sure we're right with him. Fellowship, then, is a matter of serving the Lord together. It is a common relationship we have through Christ. We are bought with a price. We're to glorify God with our body and our spirit. We are bound together. And as we serve the Lord together, there is fellowship in serving and giving our lives and carrying out that main purpose and that main goal. But whenever we get off the beaten path and we start thinking more of ourselves, we start drawing back. Let me tell you something. Real fellowship means we're concerned about the least and the most important in every church. Concerned about every person, whether they're a child or a senior, teenager or adult. Whether they're real popular and outspoken or not. One thing my wife noticed was in the Sunday school campaign, we're trying to get everybody to be faithful, be there every week, every week, every week. And count on me, I'll be there in Sunday school every week. And it's when you start going down the list of names, a lot of the people on the list are just very quiet, not outspoken. You forget sometimes that they're even there, and they're the ones that are just there all the time. You know, there's something to be said for that. We have that common fellowship because we have that common cause of serving Christ and caring about one another, encouraging, helping one another, that we might see people saved as a result. Let's bow for prayer.